All right. Open your Bibles up to 2 John. And we're going to talk about walking in the truth. Sometimes people get faced with different things and they have a choice. And everybody gets faced with these choices. And you can deal with it however you want to. But at some point, you're going to have to lay what you believe bare on the table and match it up with what you just found out in the Bible. You're going to have to look at what the Bible says and look at what you believe. And if what you believe doesn't line up with what the Bible says, then just take it and wipe it off. And line up with the Word and go on. Unfortunately, what happens too often, people run into a biblical truth and they'll say, well, that's not what we believe. I got a question for you. Who cares what you believe? Who cares what your pastor believes? Who cares what your mama believes? Who cares what your doctrine says? The only thing that really matters is what this says. This is the truth. This right here is what will see you through. Too many times, people will try to make this fit their belief system. And when you do that, it causes all kinds of problems. That's how we came up with queer pastors. Did you know God didn't have any idea of gay pastors? That was not part of his, that was not part of his agenda. How'd that come about? Somebody took this and they twisted scripture till they figured it'd fit their lifestyle. You see how that happens? Instead of just taking what they believed and matching it up with the Bible and saying, okay, I thought I was right, but I see I'm wrong. So let's just line up with what this says.
That's hard for both
to do. That's hard for everybody to do. And I'll tell you why, because the Word of God is offensive. It's offensive to the flesh. It's comforting to the soul, to your spirit, but it hammers on your thinking and it burns your flesh. Here's the thing. Too many pastors want people to feel comfortable. I'm gonna just tell you right now, I don't care. I don't care about your feelers. If they get hurt, they get hurt. But the Word of God will fix that if you'll hang around long enough to let Him do it. But if I don't ever offend anybody in here, I'm not doing my job. Jesus offended a lot of people. He made some of them so mad they tried to throw him off a cliff. He made some of them so mad that they scourged him and hung him on a cross. The Word of God is offensive to the flesh. Amen. But here's the thing. When we take what we thought was right and get rid of it and say, this is the way it is, your feelings will line up with the Word of God, and then you'll get comfort in it. Amen? So let me get over here to 2 John chapter 4. You know, there are people that will hold religious doctrine over the Word of God. Verse 4, 2 John, verse 4, says, I rejoice greatly that I have found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. So this is a commandment to walk in truth. So when you find something in here, and you look at it and you say, I don't understand this. Don't just say, that's not for me. Don't just say, well, that's not something we believe. Look at it and say, okay, I don't understand this. Holy Spirit, will you show this to me? Will you help me have a revelation of this? Bring this to light in my heart. You know how people get hard-hearted? They say, that's not what I believe. That's not what our church believes. And then they get so used to blocking it till when the time comes they really need it, and somebody comes and tries to tell them this, and there's nothing you can do for them. You know, there's people that don't believe you must be born again, and they're sitting in churches every Sunday shouting hallelujah, but the pastor will not preach salvation. And then those people, when they're at the crossroads where they have to make a decision before it's too late, and you try to tell them, the fence is up, and they say, that's not what we believe. You see why it's so important to just go ahead and scratch the religious doctrine and go with the Bible. We must separate what we have learned with our five natural senses. They may be facts, but what God says is the truth, and truth always outweighs the facts. You know, there's a lot of things that we've been told since we were little that are not the truth. How many times did you get told, don't go outside in the rain without your shoes on, you're going to get a cold? And they tell you that over and over and over and over and over. And they wonder why it's hard for your kids to believe the truth when you've been telling them a lie for 15 years. Santa Claus is one of them. Halloween is another one. Easter. It drives me crazy when people try to get me to get involved with Easter egg stuff. I'm not doing it.
Grandmother used to shame me for fishing on Sunday. The devil.
Yeah, but see, there's things that we've been told ever since we was little that are just not right. Just not right. If it doesn't line up with this, scratch it. Amen? Look at John chapter 14, verse 6. You know, and here's another thing that you have to understand. The cross made all the difference in the world. You know, there were some things that were said before the cross happened that was the truth. But you have to pay attention who's talking and who they're talking to, what side of the cross that it's said on. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to get to God, and that is through Jesus. Amen. Now go to John chapter 1, verse 5. John chapter 1, verse 1. I'm sorry. John chapter 1. Yeah. You know, this is the beginning of the Bible. This is the chronological beginning of the Bible. This happened before Genesis. Did you know that? This is the beginning of the Bible, right here. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. Now going down to verse 15, and it tells us that John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now look at verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory was of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, that was the Word. And the Word invaded our world. Did you know that? You know, we'd been kind of walking around learning things with our five natural senses ever since we was little. And it may be a truth, it may be a fact. Some of these things that we learn with our five natural senses may be facts. But the truth is above any fact. You know, doctors are big ones on facts. You know, they test your blood and they find out you got some weird disease out of Mongolia, and you're going to lose your beard in 2 days, and your toenails are going to fall off, and you got 3 days to get your affairs in order. They have some name for it, and it's about that long. That may be a natural fact, but the truth is, with long life, will He satisfy you and show you His salvation. Now, you're going to have to decide, whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe God's report or man's report? You know, I told a guy one time, a lady said, was really down, and said the doctor said this and that. And I said, man, why do you spend so much time talking to that guy? So, I don't know. I said, I'd quit talking to him. If somebody keeps telling me every time I see him that you're going to die, I think I'd stop talking to him. Honestly, I think I'd rather find out what God says about me than anybody else. Amen? Look at John chapter 8, verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth of the word of God is where your freedom is. When you know the truth, the devil can't hoodwink you. Now, sometimes, you know, I don't know about y'all, but, you know, I mean, maybe you just grew up and you just loved God so much and everybody around you was wonderful and life was good and everything was wonderful and you just wanted to get born again just so you could just be in the fellowship and love God and everything. I mean, unless you're like some of us who felt like we've been run over by the devil 15 different ways and just wanted to find some way to not go to hell. That's why I got born again. Life was terrible. I mean, it was bad. What happened is people will accept things that they've been told as being the truth. They may be a lie straight from the pit of hell, but they'll accept them as truths into their lives. And they may live them, and they may become a fact in their life. But when you find the truth, all of a sudden, you get liberated. Isn't that one of the laws that we're supposed to live in? The law, one of them is the law of love, one is the law of faith, one is the law of liberty. Jesus sets you free. It's your responsibility to stand fast in that liberty that you've been given. I mean, you don't let anybody put that burden back on you. He sets you free when he got on his cross and when he came back to life. He sets you free. A lot of people don't know they're free, though. A lot of people live their lives in chains. And they didn't know they had the key. Sounds like an Eagles song, don't it? I think of that every time I hear that song. People have the key. It's right here. But because they won't open this thing up and read it. Freedom. See, it's the truth that you know that makes you free. If the truth, if it's just the truth that made you free, then everybody with the Bible will be free. Well, there's a lot of people that are living in bondage and they have Bibles sitting at home. But they don't open them up. They don't know what's in there. Did you know this is a new will? They call it the New Testament, but it's a will. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If you had a rich grandma that just kicked the bucket, you know, she was just fantastically wealthy. But she went on home. And the lawyer said, I got an envelope here for you. You need to come read this. I bet, just kind of a hunch, you might break the speed limit getting down to that lawyer's office. You might even run a stop sign. And I bet that you would rip that envelope open before you even got out of that office. You'd want to see what Grandma left you. Well, guess what? Your loving Heavenly Father left you a will. And the Bible tells us that you're joint heirs with Christ Jesus. What do you suppose Jesus owns? Everything. Said, you fell heir to Abraham's blessing. Now here's a thing. Melchizedek ran into Abraham and said, blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. That pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? I would think. that you would open this thing up and see what you've been left. See what's yours. And read the Bible. Don't just read what you believe. This is one of the things. It's rampant in the Bible Belt areas. People will read what they believe. Read what's familiar to them. Instead of just reading this whole thing and saying, you know what, I need to study this. I don't hear this at church. I don't ever hear my pastor talk about this. You know, the religious fallacies in the Bible Belt are crazy.
I can testify to that.
Yeah.
Bill and I are on our second year of reading through the Bible this year. And our spiritual growth in the last 2 years has been amazing to us, how God has used us and worked in our hearts and lives.
Yeah.
A lot of which we didn't really understand what we were reading, or but God uses His words in your spirit, and it changes you.
Yeah. Yeah, it changes you from the inside out. You know, I broke down one time at Eden, Texas. It was outside of San Angelo. And I was sitting there and I thought, man, I had a load of hardwood lumber. I needed to get a tarp for it, so I covered it up. All of a sudden, this guy pulls over and he said, you look like you need a ride. And I said, yeah, I need a ride. And he said, I'll give you a ride. I just need to go get a tarp. So I jump in with him and he starts just spilling the beans. I guess he just felt like he could talk to me. He started telling me all these things that he did. And I said, I don't care about none of that stuff. And he stopped and he looked at me like I was some kind of an alien. And he called his girlfriend. He said, I'm riding. I'm giving this guy a ride and he don't care about none of the stuff I did. I said, it doesn't matter. Let's keep going. So he was going along and he said, you know, one time I was reading the Bible and I read in the book Acts about this verse, and I went and asked my dad about this verse, and he beat me till I couldn't walk and pulled me out of school, and he said, you're going to hell, son. And he started homeschooling me there. And he said it was terrible. And then he started going with this girl, and his dad said, you stay away from her, she's the devil. He said, you know, I married the devil. I said, what are you? So I was sitting there thinking, okay, this guy raised Southern Baptist. And all of a sudden, he said, yeah, she's crazy. And my dad told me to stay away from her, but I got her pregnant, and I had to marry her. And then he looked up and he said, there's the devil's church right there. It was a great big Pentecostal church. This is a heck of a mix here. He was so religiously whipped with false doctrine that he wasn't going to set foot in a church again. Because he wasn't getting taught the truth. He was getting taught some tradition, some doctrine, and some lies straight from the pit of hell. And he said, you don't need to tell me nothing about the Holy Spirit. I got scars on my body to show you about that. And they were trying to get him to fall out of the spirit, and they push him. The nonsense. See, these are some reasons that people stop going to church. Because they're not getting taught the truth. Some ideas. Crazy ideas. But here's the thing. Jesus reveals himself as the word, the truth, and the life. And he tells us that there's freedom in him, the word, the truth. Look at John chapter 4, verse 23. you really want to get a good handle on Jesus, on who he is, and who you are, your relationship with him, read the book of John. This is a really, really good book to get grounded in Jesus on. I spent a lot of time in this book. But John chapter 4, verse 23 says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." How about that? How do we worship him in spirit and in truth? When you take his word and you sit there and you find something like this that you don't understand, and you start meditating on it and looking at it and revisiting it and studying it, and then all of a sudden you get a revelation of it, you're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And here's another thing. You don't have to memorize it. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will bring all things to remembrance. See, this is why it's important to just go ahead and read that thing like a novel. Just read it through. Get it in there. And then go back and start covering some of the areas you were curious about. See, he caused you to be curious about it for a reason. And your spirit was drawn to it. But here's the thing. At least if you get it in there, he's got something to bring to remembrance. You might be sitting there talking to somebody, and all of a sudden you start spitting words out that you know are from the Bible. You don't know where they came from. You don't know the address. You don't even know what book. They're just coming out of the Bible. What's going on is the Holy Spirit is bringing up out of you and feeding it to somebody else. Amen. That's when it gets really cool. But you got to put it in there so he can have something to bring to remembrance. So, how will we, as true worshipers, worship Jesus and God of heaven, our Father, in spirit and in truth? Number one, find out what the Word says. Get a revelation of that Word. You know, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God told Joshua to meditate on that Word day and night. Keep that word in front of you all the time. Meditate on that word. You know, new creation realities are a fun thing. You want to turn your spirit inside out and make it do jumping jacks? Meditate on the new creation realities. The words, you know, the things that Jesus did to you. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21, that's a good place to start. Say it, because that's what happened. You know, one of the first ones that I had to meditate on was Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. I was sitting at some cowboy church service and I got born again. I really did get born again. I didn't know nothing else other than that. Well, I started saying in town, you know, somebody would say, "How's it going?" I said, "Oh, pretty good. I got born again." And you know something? These preachers would show up. There was one that showed up, and he found out I got born again, and he was happy. He said, "That is outstanding. That's good." Another one said, "There's absolutely no way you're born again. Another one said, how did you do that? God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. I said the sinner's prayer. And he said, God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. So, you know, I was born again, but I was still the same crazy guy that I was before I went to that church service, other than my spirit was born again. So then I was starting to think, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I wasn't. I don't know. Maybe if I was born again, I wouldn't have done anything crazy no more. You know, stuff would have went away. No, that's not right. So I had to force myself to go find that in the Bible where it says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. I had to sit there and look at that thing. I said, I did that. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and I confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I'm saved. Amen. And then when I got to feeling like I wasn't saved, I had to go find that again. I said, no, I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and I confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now, there nobody can even begin to even harass me in that. I know that I'm saved. Amen. Everybody has to go through this. You have to be convinced in your heart of what you believe, or you're going to get washed away with the sand. The only way you can do that is by meditating on that word and getting it in your heart, and then you get a revelation of it. And then the devil can't steal it from you. You own it. Look at John chapter 15, verse 7. We'll stop with this one. John chapter 15 is a good chapter to just spend a lot of time in. Read it over and over and over and over again. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Believe the word of God over any facts that you may hear. And above all, see, here's one of the Bible Belt things now. One of the religious leaders of the time came up to Jesus and said, what's the most important thing? Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your body. Right? That's the truth, right? Who was talking? Jesus. Who was he talking to? He was talking to Jews who were keeping the law. So he preached the law back to them. Now we have pastors telling Christians that you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your body. And guess what happens? They fail. You're trying to love God with all your heart, and then you make a mistake, and, you know, and then the pastor says, if you loved God, you'd be out in the mission field. Here's question number two, or three. What side of the cross was this set on? Before the cross. The cross made everything. What's it say after the cross? In John, it says, we have believed the love that God has for us. When you believe that God loves you, loving people is going to be all right. But if you're trying to do it out of an act of righteousness, it's going to be frustrating. But if you love people because God loves you, and you know that you're the righteousness of God, you're in right standing with God, you love people that a lot of people detest. Amen? And sometimes, we won't go there. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us on a daily basis. You love us so much. We're your favorite child. You love us with the same love that you love Jesus with. A never ending, never lacking love. You blessed us with your shalom, your perfect peace. Father, we thank you for our high priest, Jesus, who loves us unconditionally with his agape love. And he's always making intercession for us. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We'll finish this up next Wednesday.